By the way, if you're with us right now on Facebook Live, we are glad that you're here with us. We're delighted to have you here with us. And we're honored to be here as a church gathered together in this place. And those who are gathering with us online, we're delighted to have you with us. And we won't always be wearing masks, but for the time being, this is the way it is. But let's quote the words of that chorus we just finished singing. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Aren't you glad that's who he is? Amen, Lord. We just give you sweet praise because you are everything and you are the way maker. Pastor Sherry, what's on your heart this morning?
Well, number one, I just loved singing with everyone. And yes, Paula, you can sing with the mask on. Your voice this morning sounded like the voice of a nightingale. It was beautiful.
I was just basking
in your voice this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for the body of Christ.
Amen.
This weekend, we're in Psalm 73, and I want to read verses 25 through 28. And I'm going to do King James first, and then I'll give that same verse in from another translation. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Wow. Amen. The Passion says, whom have I in heaven but you? You're all I want. No one on earth means as much to me as you.
Amen.
The Message says, you're all I want in heaven and you're all I want on earth.
Amen, amen.
New Living says, whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. Wow. Yeah, because the earth doesn't look too good right now, does it? Amen. Let's go on to verse 26. King James, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Passion says, Lord, so many times I fail, I fall into disgrace, but when I trust you, I have a strong and glorious presence protecting me and anointing me forever. You're all I need. Message says, and I, oh, wow, for those of us who are a little bit older, when my skin sags and my bones get brittle,
never.
God is the rock firm and faithful. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
New Living says, my health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart.
Amen.
And he is mine forever. 27, King James, for lo, they are far from thee that shall perish. Thou hast destroyed them that go a whoring from thee. The Passion says, those who abandon the worship of God will perish. The false and unfaithful will be silenced and never heard from again. And again, I say about this verse, well, we need to take it to heart and we need to
Beautiful.
Share about the goodness and the mercy of God
Amen.
With those who aren't saved. Don't be judgmental. Just love them and just share
Amen.
With them. The time is short. The Message says, look, those who left you are falling apart, deserters. They'll never be heard from again. Remember, if you see somebody falling apart, that's a sign to you to speak up.
Yep.
And take their hand as much as you can during this 6-foot thing. But anyway, just reach out to them. Reach out to them with your heart if you can't reach out to them with your hand or your body. But honest to goodness, let's take salvation seriously these days.
Amen.
New Living says, those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. Fearful thing. Verse 28, my favorite verse in the whole Bible. King James says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I might declare all thy works. Passion says, I'll keep coming closer and closer to you, Lord Yahweh, for your name is good to me. I'll keep telling the world of your awesome works, my faithful and glorious God.
Amen.
The Message says, I'm in the presence of God. Oh, how refreshing it is. I felt that this morning, didn't you?
Amen.
How refreshing. That was precious. And the song that Pastor Kev ended with, ooh, it was just like it melted my heart. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, how refreshing it is. I've made the Lord God my home. God, I'm telling the world what you do. and my favorite translation of this verse, New Living. But as for me, I get as close to him as I can, and I'll tell everyone about the wonderful ways he rescues
Amen.
Me.
Yes,
Amen.
Lord.
You've got a story. Tell it. Tell your story. Tell what he did for you. Did you prepare that slide or not? That we usually put up there? I sent it to you last night? No.
No.
Okay. All right.
Sorry.
Then you and I are going to say this together. I picked one verse.
I thought you were just sending it to me to be aware of what you were sharing about this
No,
morning.
We usually put it up there. See, we're trying to get used to this new old system, right? So we'll share. I picked the verse that I liked the best out of all of them. So this is verse Psalm 73, verses 25 through 28. From the New Living is the first one.
Whom
have I in heaven but you?
I desire you
more than anything
on earth.
When my skin sags,
my bones get brittle,
God is rock firm
and
faithful.
Those
who abandon the worship of God
will perish.
The false and unfaithful
will
be silenced,
never heard from again.
But as for me,
I get as close to him as I can,
and
I will tell everyone about the wonderful ways he rescues me.
Amen.
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 Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. How many love what Pastor Sherry shares with us on Sunday mornings? It's just too vital, even while we do the Facebook Live, we wanted to make sure that she was still able to be heard because God so preciously prepares her for something to give to us, and we are grateful. Pastor Sherry, we love you. Hey, you guys, how y'all doing? High fives to everybody in airwaves, right? Everybody airwave. High five to y'all. So we're glad that you're with us. And again, if you're with us online, we're delighted to see you here with us. And so you know, we have the Peels are with us and Charlie and Laura. By the way, happy birthday, Charlie Perryman. Let's all say happy birthday to Charlie Perryman. So we're glad they're here with us as well. Take out your Bibles, will you please? We're going to take some time in the Word of God. And today is only the first part of a series that will at least have part two next week. We'll see how long it goes, but we're going to be going to the book of Esther. The book of Esther, if you'll find it there in the Old Testament, and I'd like you to just slip a note in there or a piece of paper in there or your finger in there because we're going to be coming back to our main text in the book of Esther this morning. This is called God Rules. Come on, say that with me. God rules. Say it again. God rules. You all found the book of Esther? The prophet Daniel. How many like to read the book of Daniel? Anybody enjoy Daniel? Man, Daniel's got some really cool stuff and some stuff we just plain don't understand. Kind of like the book of Revelation in the Old Testament. But the book of Daniel is incredible. And the prophet Daniel was ministering into a situation that was not a friendly government. It wasn't Israel. He was taken as a teenager along with the three Hebrew children. How many remember what their names are? Same with me, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they went into Babylon when Babylon overran Israel to deal with Judah and their sins and took them to Babylon. And Daniel was there as a teenager, and the three and the four together would not eat the delicate foods that they would eat, and they stuck to their Israeli or Jewish customs, and the Lord prospered them, and they rose to the top, and Daniel especially rose to the top of leadership and service. And there was a king, Nebuchadnezzar, who was an incredible king. Vast wealth and riches. He actually, in some occasions, was all right toward the captors that he brought into his land. But also, he was particularly proud. And if you look in the book of Daniel, you'll find that he credited to himself the blessings of the Lord. Anybody tracking with me? You remember where I am? Okay, nobody. Let me see the show of hands. You all with me? All there? Okay, four of you. All right, well, we'll go on then. But he had this particular verse as the God had given a dream to Nebuchadnezzar, and he warned him about some things to come. And he warned him about, and he showed him a vision of a statue that represented different rulerships that would come on the earth. But Daniel speaks these words of warning to him in Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. I know your hand is in the book of Esther. That's mainly where we'll be going. But I will share another couple of verses with you. Daniel 4, verse 17, the second part of the verse, he summarizes by saying this: "The Most High rules in the kingdom." In the dominion, or the realm, is the Hebrew there. "The Most High rules in the kingdom of men." Please say that with me. You can do it from memory. "The Most High rules in the kingdom of men." He becomes given over to pride, and one day he's out on his porches and he's going, "Look at what my hands have accomplished." And the word of the Lord comes fulfillment to him. He gets the mind of an animal. It's actually a sincere disease that some people have been afflicted with throughout the years. And he becomes with a mind of an animal. He's driven out of his palace. He lives outside as an animal for 7 years. And at the end of 7 years, he looks up to heaven, comes to his right mind, and understands and says, "God of Israel is the God over everything." And he remembers these words: "The Most High rules in the kingdom of men." God knows how to reach every heart, even in the darkest times. We don't have a government that's necessarily friendly to Christianity right now. We're in a post-Christian world, a post-Christian nation in many, many ways. And thank God the current administration is favorable toward the body of Christ in so many things, and for life and against religious discrimination and all of that. We're thankful for that. But we've been in administrations, and around the world there are governments that are completely contrary. Nigeria, pray for your brothers and sisters in Nigeria right now. They're being decimated. They're being slaughtered by marauding groups of Islamic terrorists who go in and wipe out entire villages and families because they walk with Jesus Christ. Stay abreast of what's going on. But the reality was, even under a foreign government that trampled upon Jewish rights, what they may have considered they had, God was still in charge. Someone say amen. He was still in charge. Speed through some history with me. Belshazzar followed up after many sons, and I think even a stepson was thrown in there after Nebuchadnezzar, and they did not do a very good job. But then Belshazzar comes to the throne. He's king of Babylon. Belshazzar is the one, if you recall, decided to host a party, a big party, with the vessels, the gold and silver drinking vessels that were used in the temple. And it was a debauchery party and a drunken party. And all of a sudden, how many remember what happened? A hand shows up and begins to write on the wall. Daniel wasn't in the courts anymore, and they had to go retrieve him because Daniel was the one they knew who could interpret the handwriting on the wall. And basically, the handwriting on the wall was a statement of judgment against Belshazzar. That very night, though he rose Daniel up in a position again, that very night, there was another ruler who came in to take over Babylon. It was the Medes and Persian, Darius the Medes. Man, I like history, and I don't think that's a surprise to you, but if you study back what happened on that night in that battle, the army of Darius the Mede was outside the city. They completely took their army while these thousands of people were in partying inside, and they rechanneled the water, which dropped the water level enough so the army of Darius the Mede could simply slip in under the gate, and they took the city without any resistance at all. One night, God speaks it, and God makes it happen. Say it with me: God rules. Come on, say it again. God rules. Say it again. God rules. So Darius the Mede takes the kingdom. And he makes Daniel one of his lead administrators. Daniel served under Darius and Cyrus for 39 years. We don't read that Daniel ever got to go back to Israel. This was all right around the time that Israel was beginning to be restored, because the Babylonian king said they could go back, or the Persian king said, rather, they could go back under Cyrus. And they began to return. And then you read in the book of Esther about King Xerxes. King Xerxes. And he also has the name Ahasuerus. But that's not a name, that's a title. But it's King Xerxes. And he's king of Persia from 485 to 465 BC. He was the fourth ruler following Daniel. Now you remember in your book of Esther, you can turn there if you want because you can skim along. You remember the book of Esther, it begins with him calling together 127 provincial leaders under his kingdom. He had a vast domain all the way from Ethiopia all the way over to India, and Israel was right there as a part of them. And he calls together these leaders, and the bottom line of this is he's preparing for 4 years to go to war with Greece. Because Xerxes did not like the fact that Greece had defeated his father in battle. He prepares 4 years for battle. And in 489, or rather in 4, let's see, I'll find it here. 480 and 479 BC, Xerxes lost the battle. So here, just hang in there with me. Xerxes lost the battle and he returns home to his kingdom in Persia at 479 BC after losing the battle. Just a little aside, by the way, there is the cylinder inscriptions that were discovered from antiquity that tells us that Ahasuerus or Xerxes and Esther were the parents of Cyrus. I don't know if that means anything to you. I think that's really cool. The parents of Cyrus, who was influenced by Esther in a love for Israel, who then helped to restore, because it was Cyrus who said, go back and build the temple. Everybody with me? Okay. Anyway, I think that's pretty cool. So he loses to Greece. He comes home. He's depressed. He's defeated. And he gets drunk. The three D's you should never abide by. Depressed, defeated, and gets drunk. And remember, he commands Queen Vashti to come out and be paraded in front of all of his guys. And we don't know that there was anything illicit in the request beyond it was simply crass and crude. And she refused. And what happened? Who can tell me what happened to Vashti? He set her down. He deposed her as queen. And by the way, some commentaries say it's possible that she was carrying their son, Artaxerxes, at the same time, who followed Xerxes on the throne. Nevertheless, God rules. If you're taking notes, write down Psalm 75, verse 7. God is the judge. He puts down one, he exalts another. He's in charge. He is in charge. He is still on the throne. Take a look at your government right now. Take a look at governments in the world. Who can tell me who's on the throne of all? God is. Are you all awake? God is. God rules. The Bible tells us he has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And sometimes you take a look at what's going on in Seattle right now. How many feel like there's a bit of a whirlwind and a storm? But God rules. Anarchy may try to rule, but God rules. What I'm here to tell you this morning is to give you courage and strength in your most holy faith. Whether you're watching online or you're here in person, be stirred up in your walk with Jesus Christ. God is on the throne. I'm going to say it again. God is on the throne. Come on, I'm going to say it again. I want you to raise your voice and say it back to me. God is on the throne. Let's learn from Esther. I'd like you in the next week to read through the book of Esther. It's a quick read. Read it through once. Read it through twice. Her parents die and she's raised by Mordecai. Might be her cousin, might be her uncle, but he's a relative. Mordecai. Now, to replace Queen Vashti, they gather together a multitude of beautiful women to be in 12 months of preparation, each one on a different day to go in and meet with the king to see if he wants to make that particular woman his queen. God rules. Esther's from an obscure place. She's an orphan. Sometimes you might look at me and say, what can I do? I'm nothing. I'm retired. What do I have? You are God's called man and woman, and you've got a place where you can rule and reign in the presence of the Lord, people you can influence right now for Jesus. So she's an orphan. Now, the overseer who's preparing these ladies takes a particular liking to her. She finds favor and gives her extra preparation and helps her on her journey. And then her day comes and she goes in to meet with the king, and he delights in her and pronounces Esther as his queen. Mordecai, doesn't allow Esther to tell him that she's Jewish. Now, we also read, I'm summarizing, we also read that there are a couple of guys who plot to kill the king. Mordecai hears about it. He turns them in, and the king is spared. But nothing happens to bless Mordecai for what he's done. But the king is spared. Sometime after that, a wicked man named, who knows his name? Haman. A wicked man named Haman was raised up to one of the lead people underneath the king. But Haman is an insanely jealous man. And everybody's supposed to bow down to him. Don't you understand? In the world right now, we see decrees and government decrees that we're all supposed to bow down to, right? Now, if they haven't forbidden us to preach the gospel, you see us wearing things like this mask. But there are people who delight in making decrees, and there are churches who people went to church and they received tickets and pastors were arrested. And if we don't do things in a certain way, we could be arrested. How many think there might be a demonic spirit behind some of this stuff? Come on. Somebody say amen or oh no. But God has the last word. God rules. Amen. So Haman is filled with rage and jealousy because Mordecai won't bow down to him. Mordecai doesn't bow down. He's furious. He sees this day by day, and he's insanely jealous over it. So what does he do? Haman goes to the king and says, you know, there's this group of people in your land, the Jews, who don't follow any decree that you give, who aren't really very responsive to you. I think what we ought to do is set a day and get rid of them all. And the king agrees to do it. How many think this is a righteous man, this king? How many think that all people can do stupid things when they're not in right relationship with the Lord? Amen. So the king agrees. Dark clouds of confusion come over all the land. The Jews are not only unsettled, they are discouraged. And what happens to Mordecai? He rips his clothes. He starts to wail and to cry out. He puts on sackcloth and ashes. And this man is in a horrific state before the Lord. And Esther hears about it. She doesn't know what's going on. So she sends out someone to find out what's going on. And he says, go tell her this. And you tell her she better take care of this. The servant comes back out because Esther says, I can't do anything. If the king doesn't hold out a golden scepter to me, there's no way I can even go see him. It might cost me my life. And Mordecai says these classic words that I want you to get deep in your spirit this morning. Turn to Esther chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Esther chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. She says, I might die. Sometimes we're called to stand up for Jesus, and people may reject us, and people might not like us. Doesn't mean we go in a rejecting spirit, but it means we go to speak the truth to power. We speak truth to situations where things are wrongly done. We speak truth to racism and say, that's wicked. You need to repent of that. We speak truth to people that believe anarchy is the way, and we tell them about Jesus. Mordecai gives this instruction that I really want you to look over the next couple of days. Esther chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Esther chapter 4, 13 and 14. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows? Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? There are people who are afraid. There are Christians who are afraid right now. We've never lived through anything like this. We've been involved in, each of us, 50 years of ministry. I have never seen conditions like this, either in our nation or in the world. I've never seen it like this. And there are people who are fully fearful, worried, anxious and frightened. And we don't condemn anybody. But I'm here to say to you this morning, fear not, church. Fear not, people of God. Fear not. Be anxious for nothing. But in all things, with prayer and supplications, make your requests known unto God. God told Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Come on, say it with me. Be strong and of good courage. You have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You are here for such a time as this. Do you think it's an accident that you're here? You think it's an accident you're alive during this time? And you go, well, no, but what can I do about it? Let me give you a few very simple things you can do about it. And it will change the spirit around you, in you, and what comes out through you. What can I do about it, Pastor Kev? You are come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Number one, praise Jesus passionately. Come on. Praise Jesus passionately. More than ever before. More passionately than ever before. With your voice louder than before. With your heart risen up in the Lord. More than ever before. Lift up your voice and say, my God rules. My God reigns. He's in charge. I'm clean through the blood of Jesus. There's victory in Jesus. My Savior forever. Someone say amen. Amen. I've got a reason to praise, Lord. Now I know people are hurting. And I know people have become sick and have died, and I understand, and our hearts grieve and break. But, oh God, I know that you still rule and you are still on the throne. I can praise you passionately because you were not born an accident. It is not an accident that you are alive in this hour and in this day. And if you think that as Christians sometimes there's been anxiousness, what do you think people are feeling all around you who don't know the Lord at all? They need to see Jesus more in you and through you than ever before. How will they do it? Praise Him passionately. Listen, you go, come on, Kev. You mean just singing a song makes that much of a difference? Yes, it makes a difference. Turn off the media that is full of fear and yelling at you and me all day long to produce fear and turn up the praise and worship to Jesus. 2 Chronicles 20:20-22. Jehoshaphat was leading his people into battle. They were surrounded by a horrific army that was going to, if they defeated them, they would have destroyed them completely. But Jehoshaphat, 20:22 of 2 Chronicles, stood and said, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. They went out first before the army. I said, I don't think you're hearing me yet. They went out first before the army. And they were saying, now listen to what they were saying. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. You mean, Pastor Kev, even in this kind of a crazy, mixed up time, his mercy still exists? He's still in charge? What's the answer? Yes. Praise him passionately. Number two, spiritual warfare. Wage spiritual warfare. I kid you not, if there was ever a time that spiritual warfare is to be engaged in, it's right now. It is not time to be a wimpy Christian. Amen or oh no. It's not time to be a wimpy saint. It's time to rise up in spiritual warfare. And Psalm 68 verse 1 says exactly that. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Come on, say it with me. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. We used to sing that song. Remember that? Paul, you remember that song? Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Oh, let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Well, I got one person who thought it was okay. Amen. Let God arise. Let God arise. Ephesians 6 verse 12 reminds us, you guys, be reminded. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Listen, I'm going to say something very strongly. It is time for those of us who have been Christians, who understand what the Bible teaches, to rise up and walk in maturity more than ever before. If somebody breaks fellowship over one of these stupid little things, like, you know, you got to post these posters, you got to do this kind of, if that's a thing worthy of breaking fellowship, we didn't have it to begin with. But the issue is, rise up in maturity and let your faith sing and rejoice and trust in God and wage spiritual warfare from a place of victory to a place of victory, because God is not coming off the throne to apologize to the people who don't like Him. He's coming down to rule and reign, and we get to show Jesus to people with His love. Come on, amen or oh no. Amen. Maturity. Christian maturity. Spiritual warfare. Wage spiritual warfare. And number three, find strength and joy in the Lord. Find strength and new joy in the Lord. I said it again. Find strength and new joy in the Lord. Right over there. Paul has prepared those over our doorway. Would you look right over there, over that door, and read it out loud, real loud. Please boom it out. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's straight out of Nehemiah 8, verse 12. Now remember, or verse 10, remember their conditions. That was a people who had returned from Babylon. They had built the temple again. It was feeble compared to what the first one was, and many of them wept, while others were full of joy. And then Nehemiah comes, and they rebuild the walls, and they're standing before the Lord, much fewer than Israel had ever had before, but they're back in their homeland. They're back in the place where they have a temple. They are back to be able to worship God, and they declare, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Right now, be strong. Be courageous. Don't be fearful, but rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Turn to each other and say it. If you're across aisles, 6 feet apart, but turn to each other and say, the joy of the Lord is your strength and your strength. Say it again to somebody else. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. God rules. He's in charge. Can you say amen? Amen. Father, we thank you that we can come together and we can understand that you're in charge. Lord, we can look beyond the physical barriers and we can come and give you praise. Lord, together we wage warfare and we say, Lord Jesus, rule and reign in our lives, in our communities, in our streets. Pour out the Spirit of the Lord and, oh God, capture people's hearts and minds. We've come here to represent you. Whether it's at the grocery store, with our friends, with our families, wherever we go, we can fear not, we can be not afraid, and we can trust in you. Lord, we put our trust in you now. We love you, and we give you thanks for being our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Amen. Now, we're just delighted that you're here with us today, and we're going to be back together again next Sunday. On Friday, we invite you, by the way, wholly invite you to join us in the noon hour for prayer. On Zoom, Friday at noon, we have time of prayer together. And we want to encourage you to come. It's based on the noon prayer that they did in New York, and an incredible revival broke out. And we felt it was good for us to be praying together. It is not hard. It is easy to be there. And so we encourage you to come. And Pastor Sherry, if you'll come on up, and as we close, we want to bless these precious people with the blessing of the Lord, because He is good. Do you have anything that you can take away today? A little bit of more understanding, and we'll get back together again next Sunday, and we'll talk more about the book of Esther and how God rules and reigns. Raise your hand. Stand with me, would you, even as we close. And if you're home watching on Facebook Live, simply raise your hands and receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And I'm going to give you one more. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, as they've taken their time to come, bless them and strengthen them as they go with encouragement from this place, in Jesus' name. And they all said, one more time, God rules, y'all. Now, as we dismiss, we're going to do it by row and by section. It should take very short amount of time.